to have a name tag? Oh, crikey. Was it Kwame?
It was just you.
Can you feel ever so far? Okay, you're gonna see the name.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hi, how are you?
I'm Cedar here.
Someone sitting there?
Yes. Here.
Very good.
Thank you.
Very sweet.
It's Louis.
That's you. Louis is next to you.
He's parked.
Anywhere?
Anywhere except for my.
What are you doing?
Okay. That works.
I like the setup, it's like a workshop.
Yeah, exactly. That's what this is supposed to be.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
There were two people.
That's not my friend, but mine, I drew on the other friend.
I think it was you, right?
Oh.
You were sitting there and then you moved.
Oh, okay.
Do you prefer a single ground or?
Oh, I can sit on the ground.
Would you rather sit? Oh, yeah, either way would work. We can find a seat.
Did you know? Did you tell me where you want me? How's that?
Oh, I have a preference.
Hello.
Yeah.
How are you?
Good, how are
is
you?
Is Louis coming?
Yeah.
Okay, so no, that one's
okay.
So that one over there's good, and that one's all yours. Do you want it?
Right here.
You could have it.
Thanks.
Is that a little taster's choice?
Yeah.
I had one last night. It's actually pretty good.
Yeah, it smells
better.
Also gonna pass around this pad, so I have everybody's email address and phone number in case. Well, I'm gonna send out materials, and then also your phone number in case we need to cancel classes. Yes, and hopefully we won't. But
Yeah, it's just not plugged in. We.
No, the.
Yeah, you know what, it's in there, because I'm used to you bringing yours, so I, you know what I mean? You used to bring one for your computer, so.
Yeah, it should be in that.
It's in the case, yeah.
The big black one.
No, we don't, that's the one. All right.
Gosh, I wish I could see your name tags.
I can see them.
It's not very useful in my hair. I'm gonna have to memorize them. Okay, so.
We get to enter the act.
So everybody has a name tag, hopefully?
Are we gonna do gestalt therapy now?
No therapy. So anyway. So welcome to this workshop on dealing with anger and irritation. My name is Emily, and I've been teaching classes here for, I think, about four years. And this class will be, for people who've been to my class before, this will be slightly different emphasis and slightly different style than what you're used to. I won't be teaching a text, but we're gonna try to make this very, very practical and helpful for you in your day-to-day life. So what I'd like to start with is introductions. So if everyone can say, we'll go around and say your name and maybe something that most people know about you, something that most people don't know about you, and then what you want to get out of this class. Okay. So something, your name, something most people know about you, something that most people don't know about you, and then what you want to get out of this class. So I can start. My name is Emily, and one thing most people know about me is that I teach classes here. And then most one thing, we don't need the microphone. we don't need to record introductions and all that kind of stuff. And one thing most people don't know about me.
I wonder.
See if we can squeeze people in. Most people don't know about me is that most people don't really think that I get angry.
Yeah.
I used to get really angry at my partner, who loves to push my buttons. So I took, I've been involved in the Dharma for quite some years. No, I don't want to do the microphone for introductions. We don't need to record.
She can't hear you.
Oh, you can't hear me?
Oh, we should just turn that up a little bit.
I just stopped the recording so you can use the mic and then just restart it. How's that?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. And then I thought I wanted to get it full screen. It's
yeah.
F5, maybe? Based on PowerPoint, it's F5.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. This thing is weird.
Try the F5 button at the top. Yeah. That's the way. No, you don't need to hit the bottom on the bottom. Just F5.
Okay.
You know
that didn't work.
Oh,
there we go.
Okay.
Is your answer? Yeah.
All right. So we did number one. So the class purpose, as I mentioned before, just to help everyone understand like what is making you angry and irritated, and what's underneath that. Because oftentimes in the Dharma we talk about the disadvantages of anger and what you can do about it before you even really understand where your anger is coming from, why you have anger. So I'm hoping to help you understand where your anger is coming from, what's underneath it, and then practical ways to first of all notice it, right? We need to notice it before we can do anything about it, right? And you know, so we don't just explode into rage and think, okay, well, what just happened, right? So we can notice it and then work with it on subtle and grosser levels. So I'm hoping that everyone here can get something out of the class, whether we have problems with rage or we have problems with day-to-day irritation or resentment. You know, hopefully you can all get something. And then the format, we'll talk about that in the next slide. So it's best if you can come every week, you'll get more out of the class. It's also more helpful if you participate during the class, you know, actually do the exercises during the class, participate in any discussions that we have. And then thirdly, to be committed between the classes. I'm going to ask you to watch your anger between classes and and keep a log, because that is actually, like, if you get nothing out of what I say, but just coming to the class every week and paying attention for the next 7 weeks, you'll learn something, right? So as I was saying, mindfulness, like really noticing before you get angry, right? Noticing the warning signs before you get angry is really the first step to being able to manage your anger. So doing the homework between classes is really essential for helping you notice, right? Because oftentimes, you know, we get angry and then 2 days later we think, oh, yeah, I got angry, you know? And then it's not, you know, you can't really do much about it except try to not get angry next time. Fourthly, be supportive and respectful of others. So, you know, allow others to speak, right? And then treat each other with respect, you know? If someone is sharing something, you know, to treat them with respect and not say, you're full of it. Confidentiality, you know, if people talk about, right, their experiences with anger or their problems with anger, you know, respect that and, right, not go home and tell your, you know, your partner, oh, yeah, this person in class, you know, is really screwed up kind of thing, right? So really respect when other people talk about their experiences. And then lastly, this class is educational. It's not therapy. Right, so if we need therapy, then that would be a separate thing. Okay. So what is anger? So technically, according to Buddhism, it's a factor of the mind that being unable to bear a particular person or object or situation or idea, like a political position, right, harbors ill will toward it, or malice toward it, or wishes to harm it. Right? So it's a harm. It's a mind that can't stand the situation, or can't stand this person, or can't stand this person's politics, and kind of wishes to lash out, right, harm, and it exaggerates the object's negative qualities. So this is very key, and we'll talk about this more, is that it's not an accurate reflection of reality. It's narrowly focused on what is wrong with that person or that idea. Not having a perspective on things, it's exaggerating, focused only on the negative. So anger, different expressions of anger. You know, so oftentimes we think anger means, you know, someone's angry if they explode, right? They express their anger, they lash out at others. That's what anger is. But not necessarily. Another expression of anger is to withdraw. Withdraw and be cold and be distant towards someone, right? So that's also anger. You know, anger isn't, I mean, patience isn't painting a plastic smile and pretending everything is okay, it's, you know, it can be even more destructive sometimes when we withdraw, you know, and then we create more distance with the people that we're close to. And then sometimes people turn against themselves with anger, and then that can lead to depression and feelings of helplessness and self-hatred and things like that. So these are all different expressions of anger, right? It's not just, right, rage and snapping at others. And I'll email all of you, if you put your email address on that pad that's hopefully going around, I'll email you these slides, so you'll have them. So in this class, we'll talk about different variations of anger. You know, whether it's just impatience with, you know, will this guy hurry up, mm-hmm. right? Irritation, annoyance, hatred, resentment, belligerence, spite, rage. These are all different variations of anger. Right? So we're going to address all of these things in this class, hopefully. Sometimes when I say, oh, you know, do you get angry? Oh, no, I don't get angry. You know, I'm fine, you know. But, you know, getting irritated, and we all get irritated sometimes, right? And that's just part of life until we get pretty far along the spiritual path. All right. So, as we said before, anger is this disturbed mind, right? It's this mind that kind of wants to lash out and really can't bear suffering or can't bear this person or object. So I want to distinguish between anger, this really agitated state of mind, versus wrath, right? Wrath can be mistaken for anger. It's an outward expression of force or strength, but internally, our motivation is love or compassion or wisdom, right? Wanting to help. And sometimes it's useful to express wrath if the situation calls for it. And our motivation truly is good, right? So when I talk about, you know, letting go of anger, right, and reducing anger, that doesn't mean that we just, you know, calmly accept everything that happens and never say anything and never raise our voice, because sometimes we do need to raise our voice. If you have kids, mm-hmm. You know this very well. If you say, oh, please don't cross the street, and they start crossing the street, you know, you may have to raise your voice to get them to listen, right? So if your motivation is genuinely right to help that person, then it's not anger, right? It becomes anger only if we're trying to hurt them, right? Or we're really agitated, our minds are really agitated. Right? So does that make sense?
Yes.
That clear the difference between anger and wrath, right?
Couldn't that be easily misused though? Like, oh, I'm just having wrath.
Yeah,
when you
yeah.
You really actually have malice.
Right.
I'm sorry, I'm just feeling wrathful for
it's
your own benefit.
Yeah, it's true. So this is something we have to be careful about, right?
Yeah.
And really honest with ourselves. Yeah, we can justify when we have, with anger, we want to justify it, right? Justifying it is part of anger, actually. But I did want to bring this up, right? So we need to be careful about this, but I do want to bring this up because sometimes people think, oh, you know, I should just be meek, and, you know, that means I'm not angry, right? Sometimes we do have to, you know, speak up in a meeting and, you know, speak more loudly, you know, so people, you know, so people don't talk over you, right, if you
right.
have something beneficial to say. So, but this doesn't mean, you know, hitting people and, you know, yelling at people and telling them they're a jerk, right? That's, if you're telling someone they're a jerk, that's probably not out of love and compassion, right? Anger itself, this agitated mind, you know, wanting to lash out, is always destructive. It doesn't solve any problems. Actually, it tends to create more problems. anger escalation curve. So, anger tends to start, well, actually always starts off as just as small, like we get little clues that oftentimes we don't even notice. Sometimes we think, oh, you know, you just flash into anger and, you know, it happens immediately. But actually, there were signs of impatience and irritation before that, right? So part of this class is helping us notice the signs before they escalate into rage. All right. So, so some of you are maybe have a hard time seeing this. So, like the low levels of anger, maybe it just starts with impatience, right? And then it moves to irritation, and then it moves, right? And then eventually gets to anger, and then rage. So notice how it kind of, anger kind of starts off kind of slowly, but then at a certain point, the intensity of the anger just goes through the roof. Right? So once it's escalated like this, it's very difficult to stop. Right? So anger management is largely about watching it, and catching it before it escalates into anger and rage. So here, I want to talk about three different levels of dealing with anger and irritation. First of all, okay, what do we do when we're already angry? We've already blown up, right? Or we're already, really agitated. We can't think straight. We feel totally justified in our anger. So what do? Number two, which will be the focus of most of this class, which is stopping our irritation from escalating into anger. So we have this low level irritation. The guy cuts me off, right? And instead of going, oh, what a jerk, just thinking, oh, he cut me off. I feel impatient. Let it go. Right? The guy at work, says something really, really insensitive, right? You just notice it. Just notice. You notice it and you let it go. So we'll talk about various antidotes, right? Coping strategies to help let it go before it escalates. And then thirdly, the third level is eliminating anger and irritation altogether, completely. This one takes time.
It's not going to happen by the end of the class.
And we want to talk a lot about that, because that's like liberation and enlightenment. But we can, right? So not to expect that by the end of this class we won't ever get irritated ever again. that's the fast track, right? But we'll talk a little bit about that, because we can eliminate these things, and we can certainly reduce our irritation so that they're just flashes, like it's a thought and you let it go. It's thought, let it go. Thought, let it go. So that it doesn't even affect your level of happiness in your life. That's very possible. Maybe not by the end of this class, but who knows? Okay, so practicing patience. So what is patience, the opposite of anger? It's a mind that remains undisturbed, calm, right? At ease when we're harmed or when pain or difficulties occur. When we get cut off, when our child starts screaming, when the coworker, the boss yells at us, when we get criticized. the mind remains relaxed, calm, undisturbed. As I was saying before, it doesn't mean painting a plastic smile, pretending that everything is okay when we're actually seething inside. So I think for a long time I was, before I started working on anger, I thought practice meant smiling and, pretending that everything is okay. And I didn't actually work on the thoughts around my anger. So ultimately, it's remaining undisturbed or calm in the face of anything, any difficulties, any harm. So what do we get out of anger? Right? So oftentimes we talk about the disadvantages of anger, but we get angry because we feel like we get something out of it, right? So what do we get out of anger? Well, first of all, it feels powerful. Feels like we're getting some control back. So oftentimes we get angry because we don't feel comfortable with feelings of vulnerability or fear or hurt. These feel powerless, they feel weak, right? And if we don't feel comfortable with that, if we can't stay with just that uncomfortable feeling, that vulnerable feeling, if we have a strong aversion to feeling weak or vulnerable, then we can have a tendency to react with anger, because that covers up these feelings of vulnerability. We start feeling powerful and strong. So, also we get attention, right, when we get angry. People aren't paying attention to us. If I get angry, you'll pay attention to me. Right? So we feel like we get something out of it. And we get our way, or sometimes we get our way. Or at least the first couple of times we get our way. Right? But actually, over time, people come to get to know us as being an angry person, and they start avoiding us, they start ignoring us. Oh, there she goes, spouting off again, right? And it becomes, expressing our anger becomes less and less effective, right? So maybe, initially we'll get our way, but over time people lose respect for us. They start avoiding us, and they stop taking us so seriously. Yeah. Covering up painful emotions, I already talked about that one. Vulnerability, fear, hurt, feelings of guilt. If we've ever gotten angry, someone criticizes us for having screwed up, and we know we screwed up, but we don't want to admit we screwed up, and then we get angry, self-righteous, how could you say that, I didn't do anything wrong, kind of thing, covering up that feeling of guilt. And lastly, we feel like it can release pent-up frustrations, right, if we've been holding anger inside. And then we rage and spout off. We feel relief in the moment, right? But later on, as Leslie was saying, later on we feel bad about ourselves, right? Oh, I lost control again, right? So temporarily it can release pent up frustrations, but it's actually creating, the more we vent our anger, the more we express our anger, explode, the more we're reinforcing that habit of getting angry. Right? It's, it was a theory for a long time, right, that venting and punching pillows and all of this kind of stuff was really useful and helpful in therapy, but actually more recent data says that no, it doesn't help. It reinforces that habit of needing to lash out, needing to express, mm-hmm. needing to explode. Right? Do we agree with that? What do people think about that?
Actually, the psychologist for my son, because I got separated and I'm two kids with the psychologist, she's teaching my son to express his anger, you know, with a pillow or with something. She said instead of, you know, go against your mom or your dad, get a pillow and, you know, throw it away. And I said, oh my gosh, you know, he's not practicing that because I don't agree with that, but I respect.
Right.
But
yeah.
That's the theory for her, you know, to teach.
Yeah, so that's still a theory that's out there. But other research, you know, research has shown that just reinforces that, you know, that need to you know, that aggression, right?
Yeah.
That tendency for aggression.
My brothers and I have the Taka bats. We're children of the 70s. Do you remember those? They were soft bats that you could beat the crap out of each other with, and it wouldn't hurt you. And this was a therapeutic idea back then,
yep.
to give these to kids as toys.
Yeah.
I think it just made us more aggressive. We figured out that if you turn them the other way around, you could hit each other with a handle.
And then you can really hurt.
Exactly. And this was out of that free to be you and me kind of mentality in the 70s, but it didn't quite work. So.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. And, you know, and I notice, like, for me, you know, I used to vent my anger a lot, you know, tell my friends, oh yeah, you know, what, you wouldn't believe what so-and-so did and blah, 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 thinking, you know, it's good to express yourself, right? I mean, and that's very accepted in this culture. But what I noticed is, you know, after I was beginning to practice, you know, patience and things, it's much more effective for me is if I just work with my own mind and, you know, and counteract my perception of the situation. When I vent to my friends, you know, they tend to say, yeah, what a jerk, you know, and it feeds my anger, it feeds my feeling justified. Right? So usually when I vent my anger to my friends, I feel more agitated, actually, and then I regret having done that.
Can we talk about, like, what to do if somebody is venting to you? Like,
yeah.
Like, somebody's really angry and they want to tell you all about it. Like, because for me, like what you just said,
mm-hmm.
I tend to agree. Like, oh, yeah, yeah, it sounds terrible.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, is there anything you can do? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can listen sympathetically, you know, and say, you know, it sounds like that was a frustrating situation without reinforcing, oh yeah, that guy's a jerk, you know, you
right.
should, you know, you can listen sympathetically, and then if that person is open, you know, I mean, sometimes I say things like, oh, you know, sounds like they were really having a bad day, or something like that, you know, some people are totally not open to that at all, right, but at least not trying to not reinforce, like, how justified
yeah.
they are in their anger. Because oftentimes if we just cut them off too and say, I don't want to hear it, they get more angry
that's
as well. So that's not so useful
yeah.
either. So, you know, just listen it empathically. Because it's good to be compassionate. I mean, we all know what it feels like to be angry and, you know, and people want to feel heard, right? So we can listen to them without reinforcing.
Yeah. I agree, Emily. I have a couple friends who are constantly calling me, like, who are just really easily agitated people, and I've had to, as I've, like, worked on my anger, I've had to learn how to work on responding to them differently,
mm-hmm.
and I do the same thing. I actually, like you said, I find it very useful to acknowledge their feeling and say, it, you know, makes sense that you're angry, but, you know, and then I usually try to come up with a way, like, what do you not know about the situation? What are all the things that you don't know that could be behind this behavior?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, there's an infinite number. Maybe that person did something else happened to them that day, or maybe
they had a loss, or maybe they had something, you know, that we don't understand, and I try to point that out, like, it kind of softens it. Usually they, sometimes, like you said, they don't want to hear it either, but,
yeah.
And then I also find it helpful to be like, where is this feeling coming from? Like, you're just, you're hurt, actually. You know what, you're really angry because your feelings are hurt. And sometimes that's hard, too, but
yeah.
I find sometimes if you actually can break through with good friends, sometimes, like, just having them own up to where it's coming from is better. I don't know. It's a work in progress, but that's...
Yeah, and it really depends on
the person
where they're at.
How receptive they are, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, one thing about anger is that there's this this period when we're angry where we feel totally justified in our anger.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to hear anything
mm-hmm.
about how we're thinking incorrectly or how the other person might be, you know, might have a point, right?
Yeah.
Right? You know, we're totally closed off to any input. And if that person is in that state, then it's not
yeah.
useful to say anything, right? And then, you know, we kind of have to know the person pretty well
yeah.
to kind of know how to
yeah.
respond.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember with my dad had this habit. My dad and my brothers had this habit of complaining about, oh, you know, the phone company, or complaining about, you know, all of the wrongs done, you know, and they just really enjoy that, you know, that you feel that camaraderie, right? Yeah, well, you know what happened to me, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I used to partake in that, you know, a long time ago, and then I stopped, you know, and I would just listen and you know, kind of empathize. And then I remember one time when my dad was starting to complain about it, and then he looked at me and he said, yeah, I know you don't think that I should complain about this kind of thing. And he kind of re-looked at it, you know. It's like he had a second thought about it, you know. So it's really important, right, not to be judgmental with a person who's venting, right? Be compassionate, empathic, you know. And we can reinforce their feelings, right, but not... We don't have to reinforce their anger, right? I mean, their justification. Right? Okay. All right. So we feel temporarily powerful and get attention and things like that when we get angry. But in the long run, there's no benefit to anger. Right? It's anger that creates wars. It's anger that creates conflicts. Anger that, you know, creates difficulties in relationships. So what are the disadvantages of anger? First of all, it doesn't solve any problems, right? It might temporarily release some frustration, it might temporarily give us some attention, but nothing is solved, right? Whatever prompted that anger is just going to happen again and again and again, right? It doesn't solve anything. And then if we respond to the problem with anger, we're creating another problem, right? Not only did we have that problem, but now I have to go and apologize to that person at work, you know, and now that person, you know, won't listen to me the next time, you know, or now I have to go back to work and experience all this tension, right? Now other people don't respect me. Or what are some disadvantages of anger? First of all, psychologically and spiritually, we don't feel, with anger, it's impossible to feel peace. Right? Our minds are just not at peace and not happy when we're angry. Like Geshe Dagpa once said, you know, nobody is happily angry. They feel powerfully angry, but not happily angry, right? So, you know, so do we want peace and happiness, or do we want to feel justified and powerful? Secondly, we can't think clearly in the midst of anger, if we notice. You know, we can't think clearly. We're just consumed by what this person did wrong or what's wrong.
And then we say and do things we later regret. We say things that we would never say when we're not angry. You know, we lash out at our loved ones. We lash out at people that we really care about and say we can say horrible things that we would never say unless we're angry. So anger kind of creates this kind of energy where you feel so justified that you just want to, you know, you think you can say anything, right? But then, right, that ruins your relationship, right, with that person. And then we feel bad about ourselves often after we get angry. It ruins our store of positive energy, right? So if we're, you know, we're trying to cultivate love and compassion and caring for others, and then we fly into anger. You know, that love and compassion is nowhere to be found, right? And it takes a while to get that back again. Creates causes for a lot of future suffering. So we can think about in terms of karma here. We create a lot of negative karma that we have to experience the suffering later. As well as, you know, ruined relationships and things like this, yeah. It delays our spiritual progress and blocks us from feeling love and compassion. Okay. So anger and love are completely contradictory. You can't feel love and anger at the same time. It's impossible. They're completely contradictory. Interpersonal costs of anger. So I was saying it damages relationships. It destroys trust, right? Trust takes a long time to develop in a relationship. And then the more we act out in our anger, then the more we destroy that trust. Also engenders defensiveness, hardness, fear in others. So it's like if we've ever had, you know, a relationship with someone in the beginning, it's wonderful, you really, you know, there's all this positive energy and you really love and respect each other and it's just so wonderful, you really help each other out, and then, you know, if anger is involved in the relationship, then slowly people start to shut down, become hard and defensive, and not wanting to help you, feeling resentment. You know, it ruins the good energy in a relationship. It really ruins the love in a relationship. And then we feel increasingly isolated, don't want to help us out, right? Because we're blocking off the good energy that we have with others. Physiological costs. So there's a link between anger and high blood pressure, heart disease, digestive problems, our immune system is weakened, ulcers, etc. There's all sorts of physiological costs to getting angry. So in this book, When Anger Hurts, he says, each angry episode you have cuts into the fabric of goodwill, care, and appreciation that's vital to your relationships. Angry people are experienced as dangerous, and they're handled like a loaded gun, with caution or downright avoidance. So at this point, I'd like to do an exercise. Ah, thank you, Charles. Do we have any copies? So I'm going to spend the next few minutes. I mean, I can tell you the cost of anger, or the disadvantages of anger, but you might not believe me. Which, you know, you shouldn't just believe anything I say. You know, really think about it and check it out. And if you disagree, you're very welcome to say, Emily, I disagree. You know, it's not useful to just kind of sit there and listen and not, you know, not raise your objections, right? Because then you won't be able to be benefited from this class. So I'm gonna do an exercise. And this is really important. I want to talk about the disadvantages of anger, because the thing is, if we're still raging, we still feel like there's some benefit to anger, right? We feel so justified in our anger, and we won't really try to let it go as long as we feel justified, right? As long as we believe I'm still getting more out of anger than I would if I stay calm, then we're not going to counteract our anger. So if you guys can fill that out in the next few minutes, and then when you're done, we'll take a break for about 5 minutes. So when you're done, you know, just feel free to go wander about and get some tea. Does anybody need a pen or a pencil? Okay, let's see. Janet, are there any pens or pencils? Yeah.
Like when people is alcoholic and recognize they have the problem,
yeah,
we can start working on that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So I mean, we have to make it very personal. How is it affected? Has anger affected
everything.
My happiness? My life, right? And not just have it be this abstract. Let's work on anger. You know, we have to really see how it's adversely affected our lives to motivate us to really work on it, right? Because it does take effort.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Carla.
I think in general, the common thread that I found in the questions was that it creates distance.
Yeah.
And usually in relationships, it's like finding a common ground and all of that. And the anger is like, immediately it goes like, like if we're this close, all of a sudden we're jolted, you know, to opposite corners.
Yeah.
In that sense.
Yeah. So it's actually achieving the opposite of what we're trying to achieve, right? We want closeness. We want others to understand us. We want others to listen to us. But anger, if you've seen from that, is actually doing the opposite, right? It's creating distance. It's creating distrust. It's destroying the intimacy, destroying the closeness and connection that you feel with that person.
I found too that the last question about the spiritual progress is that it actually stops. Because I find that I spend most of my time doing like purification or amends at night rather than, you know, meditating on other things that might take me further. I'm just like trying to keep an even keel. I'm in an echo chamber.
Oh, yeah, maybe. Okay. Yeah, good.
Second.
Yeah, we're just kind of running to stay at our current spiritual level, right? If
right.
We're getting angry, you know, just trying not to fall backwards. Mm. Right, yeah. Okay, anything else? Anyone noticed, or?
Well, every time Wow, that echo thing.
Yeah, what's that about?
Every time I just feel like I'm speaking with a different voice. I find that when I try to channel the anger, or not suppress it, but deal with it and use the energy or convert it by breathing or engaging in some sort of a practice, it eliminates itself, or the practice, I can see directly how my practice is an antidote to the anger. And when it starts to arise at a low level, because I do yoga and three breathing techniques and being mindful, that oh, I'm starting to get it again, and it helps to just get rid of it, so that I don't have the same kind of road rage in the car.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Uh-huh. And it's just it. So in a sense, it. I don't want to say it helps my practice. It helps my practice to notice it, mm-hmm. and then get rid of it.
One of the things that I noticed was the first question about the anger at work. Because sometimes at my job, I feel like we will have a conflict, and sometimes that conflict will say something, but then we have to get down to business. So one of the things that I wrote down was like the silent argument, where you're working alongside somebody, and you know that person's upset with you, and you're upset with them, and it creates like a lot of negative energy and tension because you can't really resolve it right then. Mm-hmm. So you're having almost a silent argument with the person that you're with. Mm-hmm. It's just very frustrating.
Yeah, and you feel stressed, right? I mean, mm-hmm. when you have that, you know they're angry at you and you're angry at them, but you know, you can't address it. Charles, you had something?
Yeah, I don't think I'll get this question answered tonight, but I mm-hmm. find it hard enough to take responsibility for myself, and I do expect myself to take responsibility for me, and I expect others to take responsibility for their actions. And I think sometimes when anger arises in me towards another, something other than myself, another person, another human being, I feel like it's justified, mainly because I'm like, well, they did it from their side, you know, they're causing this to arise in me.
Okay, we'll address
and
that.
I can give you an example, but, you know, just someone being really mean or something, for instance, you know, it's like, I didn't do anything. They did it, you know, so, yeah.
Okay, we'll address that later on in this class, maybe, and definitely next week,
cool.
you know, when it seems like, I didn't do anything.
Nothing.
It's their fault. All right. But that's what anger thinks, you know, in general. I'm right, and the other person is wrong, you know. I mean, pretty much most of the time, we're convinced they're wrong, and I'm right. So we'll talk about that more. I don't want to get into that too much. All right, anything else? Okay. All right, so we'll talk about how anger arises. I'll go through this briefly. So in order for anger to arise, we need three conditions need to be present. First of all, we need to have the seeds of anger. So if people have been going to Dharma classes, we've heard of seeds, right? We have the potential for getting angry. And we'll have these seeds, this potential, basically until we become... Anyway, if people understand, the eighth bodhisattva ground, right? So there's not much we can do about that now. I mean, we can meditate on emptiness. You know, that's what we can do about it now. But we're not going to eliminate our seeds in the next 7 weeks, most likely. So that's not the level that we're going to be working on mostly in this class. And the seeds of anger also give us anger, it's the habit of getting angry. The more we get angry, the more we're reinforcing the habit of getting angry, and the more often we'll get angry in the future. So it's kind of a spiral effect. So every time we try to counteract that anger, we're undermining, even if we just try to counteract the anger, even if we're not successful, we're undermining that habit. We're giving that habit less power, right? So one thing about working with our anger, you know, it's important to not get discouraged and get down on ourselves. Just trying to counteract the anger, we should feel happy about, you know, we're reversing the trend, right? And then slowly we'll be able to counteract the anger more and more if we keep at it, right, as long as we keep trying, the anger will definitely reduce. If we give up, that's the only way to not make progress, actually. If we keep trying, for sure, over time, our anger will reduce. So this is supposed to say 1, 2, 3. In PowerPoint it said 1, 2, 3, but in this software I'm using an open office and there's some incompatibilities. Number two, the object. Being close to the object of anger or the situation, that person who's making us angry, that person spouting off a particular opinion, right? Being close to that can ignite our anger. And the thirdly, which is the main thing that we'll focus on in this class, is inappropriate mental attention, which is our exaggerated thinking, our thinking about how wrong that other person is and what a jerk and blah, blah, blah. The way we talk to ourselves, the thoughts that we keep repeating to ourselves, that is the main cause of anger on a day-to-day level. And that's the level we really need to work at, is how are we talking to ourselves? What thoughts are we repeating to ourselves? Ooh, this didn't come out very well. Oh gosh, this didn't come out very well at all. Anyway, okay. So how does anger arise? Well, the root cause of anger is ignorance. Actually, I'm going to skip that for now. It starts with a painful feeling. So anger is always a reaction to some sort of pain. It might be emotional pain. It might be physical pain. It might be, frustration. It's basically a reaction to something that I don't want. Right? It's our way of coping with things that I don't want. Right? We don't get angry when we get what we want. Right? When somebody gives me $100, I don't get angry at them unless I don't want the $100, right? When we get what we want, when we're feeling really good, when we're feeling really happy, that's not when we get angry. We get angry as a response to pain, to stress, right? So that includes feeling really tired. If we're really stressed out a lot, if we're really agitated a lot, we're much more likely to get angry than if we're habitually a happy, calm person. So, reaction to pain. So we feel pain, and then we don't get angry automatically because of pain. We get angry because of our reaction to pain. Right? So this is really key. I have a stomach ache. I don't automatically get angry because I have a stomach ache. I get angry because I really don't want a stomach ache, because I start thinking about how the stomach ache is going to ruin my day. I have so many things to do. I'm supposed to go out to dinner with my friends and now I'm going to have to, stay in bed, maybe not with a stomach ache, but if I have a really bad headache, right? The headache automatically doesn't make me angry. It's my reaction to the headache. So one of the ways to counteract anger is to deal with the pain, deal constructively with the pain, right? Instead of just reacting negatively toward the pain, we accept the pain. We just look at the pain non-judgmentally. Not as, like if I have a strong aversion to pain, then I'm more likely to get angry. I'm not supposed to get sick, right? I'm not, bothered. People aren't supposed to hurt me. Well, this is life, right? So we get hurt, right? If we have a strong aversion to getting hurt, then we're going to get angry. If I accept, well, hurt is part of life, it's part of caring about people, and I accept that, and I just deal deal with hurt, accept it, then I, you know, then I won't get angry. So we'll talk more about, you know, how we deal with pain in this class. But then there's the negative thoughts, right, on top of pain. When we start thinking negatively, that triggers our anger. It's like, oh, we exaggerate, we focus only on the negative. You know, the guy is such a jerk, right? The guy cut me off, right? The guy cut me off. There are many different reactions I could have to that. Like, oh, maybe he didn't see me, or maybe he's in a hurry, or what a jerk, you know? People shouldn't do that, right? How we talk to ourselves is what creates the anger or patience, right? So we'll be working a lot in this class on our negative thoughts, identifying what those are and exploring ways to reframe the situation, exploring ways to think about the situation differently so that we don't get angry, right? So we don't destroy our relationships. So negative thoughts. So pain without negative thoughts doesn't bring about anger. This says anger, in case you can't see that. I guess I won't use that red again. So we'll learn to notice our negative thoughts and reframe them. Okay. Remember, these negative thoughts, we think we're so justified, we think that we're seeing things in the correct way, right, when we're angry, but actually, we'll see that that actually we're not. We're narrowly focusing on what that person did wrong or what's wrong with that situation. You know, let's say, you know, oftentimes we get angry with our loved ones, right, the people we spend day in and day out with. Right? When we're angry at them, we don't remember their good qualities, right? Why we got together with them in the first place. You know, how kind and considerate they are most of the time. He didn't do the dishes again, right? And then suddenly that person explodes in our mind into the person who doesn't do the dishes, right? It's not that person who's, right, who never does the dishes, right? The person who never does the dishes. It's not, oh, that person who forgot to do the dishes today, who's very kind and considerate most of the time, who helps out around the house at other times, right? When we have this perspective, we don't get angry, right? We only get angry if we narrowly zero in on the one thing that they did wrong and make them into that bad, inconsiderate, lazy person, right? It's not a balanced person who has good qualities and bad qualities, it's a bad, wrong, lazy, you know, jerk, right? So these negative thoughts are actually not accurate, right? They're narrowing in on only one quality. So we need to notice these negative thoughts and then counteract them, right? And then the root of all of this is ignorance, you know, grasping at a solidly existing self, which we'll talk about in later. So, you know, and the focus on me, like seeing everything in terms of me, like if I get what I want or not, right? So anger is oftentimes a reaction to the ego not getting what it wants, right? To me not getting what I want, right? Then I get angry, or me encountering the suffering that I don't deserve. Right? So we can see that, because if my neighbor, the same thing happens to my neighbor, do I get angry? No, probably not. You know, we get more angry if it happens to me, right? If it happens to my neighbor, oh, that's too bad. I'm sorry that happened. On with the next thing, right? We don't get angry. So, filter
we filter things in terms of me and what I want and what happened to me. So what happens is we have pain, then we react to the pain through negative thinking, which brings up anger. And then the more we think negatively, the more that anger grows. Right? It's a cycle. Negative thoughts feed anger, which feeds negative thoughts again and again. And this is how anger builds. Right? Something that starts off as irritation can build up into rage, right? The more we think about the wrongs done to us. Okay, so here, the painful feelings, and we'll talk about this in the next class, or I don't know, in the coming classes. So the painful feeling that kind of triggers these negative thoughts, so it can be painful emotions, you know, like the hurt and the fear and the guilt and the shame and the feelings of powerlessness that we're reacting to, trying to cover up. Or it can be physical pain. You know, when we're sick, right, or when we're overly exhausted, we'll notice that we're more easily angered, right? Or if we're in a lot of, right, if we're in back pain, we have a headache, we're closer to getting angry, right? So something small can trigger us if we're already feeling pain. Frustrated desire or attachment. So the more I'm really attached to getting what I want, the more I'll feel angry when I don't get it. The more attached I am to getting, you know, to driving 75 miles an hour down the highway, the more angry I'll be if somebody cuts me off and drives, you know, 65 in front of me and doesn't let me over. Right? If I feel okay with driving 65 or 75, I'm not going to get angry. Right? If I'm really attached to driving 75 or getting somewhere as quickly as possible, then I'm more likely to get angry. Right? So we'll talk more about that. And then it can be, anger can be a response to feeling harmed or threatened. So we'll talk about that more in the future. So does this process make sense? Are there any questions here? So this is how we work with anger, right? We work on our thinking. Yeah. So we may think, the situation has nothing to do with me, but actually anger is a choice. We choose to get angry or not based on how we think, how we talk to ourselves. Okay, I already talked about that. So anger is a choice. We can choose to feed negative thoughts or to counteract them. So every moment of anger, irritation, we can decide. I mean, not that it's easy, right? If we have a strong habit of getting angry, then these thoughts just start coming automatically, right? So, but we can choose to feed them, or we can choose to counteract them. And this is where, you know, understanding the costs, the disadvantages of anger in my own life really come into play, right? Really, do I really want to counteract my anger or not? If I really want to counteract my anger, then in the moment, I will try to counteract those negative thoughts. Otherwise, you know, in the midst of anger, right, we feel totally justified, right? So when we feel totally justified and we keep feeding those thoughts, then the anger builds, right? So we need to have become convinced before we get angry that we need to counteract the anger, right? Because in the midst of anger, you know, somebody says, hey, you're trying to work on your anger, aren't you? you know, we'll get angry at them, right? Because we feel totally justified in the middle of the anger. And then taking responsibility.
others cannot make us angry. You know, we tend to say, oh, he made me so angry. But others can't make us angry. Mm-hmm. They can be contributing conditions. There can be a provocative situation, or there can be a trigger. But no one can make us angry. It depends on us, how we think about things. Only we can cause our anger through our negative thinking. So what do people think about that? Anger is a choice. We choose to get angry. Others can't make us angry unless we accept their invitation.
Well, I think there's a habitual aspect to anger, too.
For sure.
That has to do with, you know, that mind of irritation you were talking about. If you're habituated towards anger, you can flash into it in less than a second. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that's been the hardest thing for me to unwind, is that trigger reaction. You know? Mm-hmm. It's probably for many lifetimes, not just this one.
Mm-hmm.
And so that even if you understand that anger is a choice and all the reasons why anger is a disadvantage, you still have that ear trigger reaction to it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, you know, it's almost like a physical reaction in that case.
Mm-hmm.
It feels
yeah.
that way.
Yeah. So we'll talk about how we can deal with that. Yeah, I mean, for sure, it's not that we're you know, it's easy, right?
Right.
It's not that... You know, in the situation, you know, the situation arises and we calmly think, oh, should I get angry or not? Right? It's not like that, right? We have the habit, right? But we do have a choice whether or not we try to counteract it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's true.
Yeah. So I'm not trying to, you know, I don't want to say that it's easy, right? Because of course it's not, right? If it was easy, then we wouldn't be angry. But we have a choice what we do in that particular situation, whether or not we try to counteract it. Joe.
I think that having heard this paradigm, all of us in this room have a choice about it, but I'm not sure that it's a choice for everyone, at least in Western culture. You know what I mean? Like, I'm thinking about my nieces and nephews who are growing up watching television all the time, and, you know, having anger modeled all the time in the family. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I don't think that they've ever been given the opportunity to think about it as a choice, to see another way of handling a situation that would be provocative or that would make someone angry.
I agree.
On television or
yeah.
in the family, like, I've just never seen it. So if they haven't heard this before, mm-hmm. if that possibility hasn't been presented to them.
Yeah.
You know?
So this is, I'm glad you brought up that point, right? So this is... For us who are here, who have heard the teachings, right, that, you know, once we understand that anger is created through our own negative thinking, then we have a choice, right? But, yeah, one thing I want to really caution everybody is not to expect that others have control over their anger, right? Because others are in different situations. Others, you know, haven't heard the teachings, you know, they have different conditioning. So oftentimes when we, you know, when we go to class and we learn things, then we start having expectations that others mm-hmm. should behave, you know, mm-hmm. I'm working on my anger, so you should work on your anger too. Now, don't do that, you'll get some pissed off people at you, right? So this is for, you know, me, myself, I, right? I can work on my anger. And I can work on my compassion for others who have anger, right? But not expecting others to be able to work with their anger as well. I mean, that's one of the keys to having patience, is understanding that others aren't able to control their anger yet, right? And just and accepting that. Just like I haven't been able to control my anger, you know, for much of my life. Haven't heard the methods, then how can we expect? And then some people have really strong habits and conditioning, right, to anger. So the stronger the habit, the stronger the conditioning, the harder it is to counteract the anger.
So.
Carla, your hand up in there.
Oh, I just think that in my mind, the possibilities started showing up, you know, like, of course, you could tell me that, you know, 5 years ago, I'd say, yeah, and then, but I think the possibility only started showing up in my mind was when there was that discernment between, just because I'm not getting angry at the other person doesn't mean that they are right.
Yeah.
Because there's that thing that I have to get angry because this person is not right. When, you know, when there's some harm involved or some wrongdoing from the other person. So there's a very tricky situation there. You know, they really did something wrong and I must
right.
be angry at them.
Right.
There's
yeah.
no other reaction that I should be
yeah.
having.
Yeah, yeah, that's important. It's important, right? So, yeah, so oftentimes we think if we don't get angry, then they're going to get away with it,
mm.
right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, but see, when we're angry, we don't think clearly and we can't, like, when somebody tells us off, is that going to help us improve our behavior? You know, usually not. But if somebody speaks kindly to me and, you know, and tells me, you know, that maybe this behavior is not very helpful, or you know, if they say it out of my own interest, then maybe I'll be willing to look at it and change, right? But if someone gets angry at me and tells me off, you know, I'm less likely to change than if it's done in a constructive way. So similarly, when somebody else has done something wrong, we can practice patience and not get angry, but we can try to find a helpful way to let them know, you know, that they've done something unconstructive or harmful
or
something like that.
You know, with the oil spill,
yeah.
Only reaction is anger.
Yeah, yeah. But anger, well, anger doesn't help, right? So we can't. We can't think clearly about solutions when we're angry.
That's where wrath comes in.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So if we can stay calm and clear, and then we can think of constructive ways to help, yeah. And then it might be a wrathful way, right, to help. But that wouldn't be the same as being angry. Yeah. Yeah, so we'll talk more about, hopefully, you know, effectively communicating, right, as opposed to communicating out of anger, but how do we communicate in a way that's more likely for the other person to listen? Not that that's my strong point, but I have that idea, right, that we'll cover that point. Okay. We're almost, okay. Almost to the end, so I need to skip, and we'll cover some of those other things later. But we'll skip to the. We'll just go through these next time. Okay, so the homework for this week. What are we talking about? Okay, so if we're already angry, how do we deal with that? So the first thing is to do is stop and not react. Whatever you say when you're angry will not be helpful, right?
I'm already angry about that.
So, shoot, I wanted to cover a few more things. Actually, before that. So, do you mind if we go a few minutes over?
No.
Okay. So, noticing. So, first of all, we need to notice. So we can notice when we're becoming angry or are already angry. One way is through our thoughts. Like, what a jerk. That's a good clue, right? Or, gosh, she's so inconsiderate, right? Another negative thought that will lead to anger. Or, he always does that. Always, never are good clues that we're exaggerating the situation, right? And that leads to anger or catastrophizing. What a disaster!
I say that at work every day.
Yeah. So.
Oh my God.
notice, like notice if a particular negative thought is arising and stop and don't react. Think, oh yeah, I'm saying this to myself. This is triggering anger. Breathe, right? Don't do anything. Don't say anything. Don't write a seething email back to somebody. Don't ever write an email when you're angry. Right? And then, so we may notice certain thoughts or bodily sensations. So when we get angry, maybe our face gets flushed, our heart starts to pound. Maybe some people feel like something in the pit of their stomach. Maybe we start feeling tense, like our shoulders tense up. Tightening the jaw. So the bodily sensations are different, right, for different people, right? So the key is to notice what happens with you, right? Jaw clenched, mm-hmm. Fists clenched, right? Right? So the exercise for this week is being mindful, okay? So first of all, not reacting, not saying anything, not writing anything, not punching anybody, right, when we're angry. Not, like if it's road rage, right, if somebody cuts us off, don't try to, run them off the road or get too close to them, right? Don't react, right? Sometimes people, follow like this close behind you, if you've cut them off, right? So don't do things like that. So try not to react. And then just try to be mindful and just notice, like without judgment, just notice the thoughts and the bodily sensations arising. Oh, because that will get your mind off of the story, the negative thoughts. It's like, oh, that's interesting. It's interesting my face is getting red. Oh, I noticed this tape recording of what a jerk, what a jerk, what a jerk, what a jerk. That just kind of automatically arose. That's interesting. So just notice, just try to notice your physical reactions, the thoughts that are automatically arising. Notice them without reacting. And breathing, right? Like sometimes, it's been advised, count to 10, just take deep breaths. That starts to relieve the stress, right, in your body. And if you need to take a time out, take distance from that particular person or that particular situation, right? And, and you can take a walk, exercise, meditate. Because we have a lot of energy, right, with anger. And so sometimes we need to expel the energy, right? Not by punching a pillow because that's increasing aggression, but doing something with that energy, running, doing the treadmill, lifting weights, just something to expel that energy that's not increasing your aggression, right? Don't envision, right, that you're punching them, but just expel the energy, right? It's useful. Meditating if you can. And then whatever you do, don't try not to feed your negative thoughts. They're automatically coming up. But just watch them like as an objective observer, like, oh, this is interesting. Or try to apply some antidotes. If you know some antidotes, we haven't talked about any yet today. But one thing that might be useful to try is, will anger help? Will anger help in the situation? And another one that I find really useful is anger going to make me happy? So I noticed, I remember one day when I discovered this one, I was feeling totally justified. This guy at work did this thing that was bad. It was just wrong, and I knew it was wrong. And I kept justifying, because it's wrong. It's wrong. I should be angry. And then I thought, but will anger help? happy, and it was very clear that anger was not making me happy. So then I was able to let it go. It's like, okay, well, is it really worth it to feed it, no matter how justified we are? Is it worth it? Right? Is it going to make me happy? Is it going to help the situation? The more we try to justify it, the more it builds. If we're more focused on peace and happiness, then we're more likely to let it go. So don't feed, whatever you do. Like if you take a time out from a person and you want to come back and talk to them later, when you're away, don't think, oh gosh, you know, don't ruminate about all of the wrongs that that person has done, because when you come back, you'll be even more angry, right? But if you think, oh, you know, maybe they're just having a bad day, or they're having a hard time, or, you know, whatever, you know, that will help lessen the anger. Right? And then once you've calmed down, then you're better able to constructively deal with the situation. Really, please, I implore you, don't deal with the situation when you're in the midst of anger. You will regret it, right? You will regret what you say and what you do. Or even if you don't say the wrong things, the tone of voice that you'll use, the other person will pick up on and, you know, and feel defensive. Okay. Okay, we'll go through these next time. So we talked about, you know, noticing when you become angry, taking a time out, and then completing the anger log. So that is the last thing. Oh, actually, maybe I need a copy. Thanks. Ask you throughout this class or this workshop through the next seven classes to fill out this anger log. Like at the end of every day, review your day, think about, well, you know, when did I become irritated, when did I become angry, you know, etc. And this will really help you notice it. Huh?
Can I make copy for you if I need
yeah. <I'll> Right, so we can hand out more copies if we need in the future. Right, so we'll go through this. Does everybody have a copy of this? Who still needs a copy of the anger log? Whether or not you want it, but who still doesn't have one? Okay. So this is painful, right, to fill out, but this is really useful. When we have to fill something out at the end of the day, then the next day we're going to be more mindful. I don't want to have to, you know, put five things on my anger log tomorrow. So, does everybody have one now? Okay, so every time you get angry. So, I have the first page, I have just a sample, and then the rest are blank. So, let me just go through each of the columns. The first one is a description of the triggering circumstance. What happened? What are the facts? Like, not my opinions about things, but what are the facts? Someone cut me off. Not that guy is such a jerk that he cut me off, but what's the fact? What actually happened? This person wrote me an email. You know, this person criticized me. You know, blah, blah, blah. What's the facts? What is the triggering circumstances? The second column is the painful feeling. Is it, you know, is it hurt? Is it fear? Is it frustration? Is it, you know, what is the painful feeling behind this? That guy cut me off and I felt frustrated, right? I felt frustrated that he cut me off. Right? Or that person criticized me, I felt hurt. So separating the circumstances from the painful feeling. And then the thirdly is the negative thoughts. How did I talk to myself? You know,
what a jerk. He always does that. You know, he's such a moron. They're so incompetent. They're so lazy, right? So what are the negative thoughts? So noticing, what are the thoughts? How do I talk to myself? And then, you know, our anger intensity on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being like impatience, and, you know, maybe 2 being irritation or something like that. Like 5, I would say, is anger, and then 10 would be rage. But, you know, kind of use your own scale, you know, just rate the intensity of that angry incident, right, from 1 to 10. And then the next column, behavior and antidotes used. So what did I do? Did I tell him off? Did I, you know, did I try to cut that other, you know, speed up and cut off that guy, you know, that guy who just cut me off? So what was my behavior? And if I tried to counteract it, what kinds of antidotes did I use? It, or did I try to, you know, do loving kindness on this person? And then lastly, what was the outcome? You know, I yelled at him and he stormed off, right? Or we felt, you know, we didn't talk to each other for the rest of the day. You know, what was the outcome? Right? Or I felt really bad, I felt really guilty, you know, for having said that. Right? That was a really quick overview of this anger log, but we can talk about it next week, you know, if you have questions on it.
Okay. I have a really bad memory. Uh-huh. I mean, when I get, if I get irritated about something, it just flashes and then it disappears. By the end of the day, chances are I probably wouldn't remember. So I think it, for myself, probably if I do it like periodically, maybe 6 times a day or something, you know, maybe a couple hours.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's the more often we do it, the better, because the more mindful we are. I'm just asking you to do it at a minimum once a day, right? Yeah. So I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah. So if you want to do it like every, you know, every few hours or at lunchtime, you know, at certain hours every day, great. You know, or at least at the end of each day. All right? Any other questions before we move on? Okay, we can do that?
Yes.
All right. Okay, thank you very much. Maybe we'll just kind of dedicate any positive energy that we've created here.
Yes.
So may this help, you know, reduce our anger and irritation. And help us be more peaceful to ourselves and others. And bring more peace and love and compassion into the world. Good week.
Okay. I just have one announcement, everybody. I see a lot of people that I haven't seen before today, and maybe it's just I've been mindful, but if you are new to the center, on the 28th, Saturday the 28th at 10:30 a.m., we're going to have like a newcomers orientation. We're going to watch a short film about the center and the organization that we're a part of. So if you're interested in learning more about the various programs we offer here, educational programs and workshops, you're welcome to come to that. And we have Callan coming months are going to be really busy, but some of you may not know, but we've had some translator issues. If you're new, we have a senior Tibetan Lama that teaches here. His name is Geshe-Nong Dakpa, and we've had trouble getting a translator recently, and we just got a visa for one. She's coming to Singapore, probably in the next 2 weeks. So once that